You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I cover the Chicago Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and I cover the NFL for Pro Football Focus. Locked On Bears is your podcast destination for daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. And today, it is Tape Tuesday. We're going to break down some of the key plays on both sides of the ball that really ended up deciding this Bears loss to the Patriots. And we'll wrap up with some notes on individual players that stood out from the All-22. I want to switch it up this week and dive into some individual plays here based on a question we got to the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line from John from Pensacola. He was wondering about the Hail Mary throw at the end of the game and why it seemed Kevin White was the only Bears receiver really in the vicinity of where Trubisky was throwing that ball, and why, you know, there wasn't more of a group attempt to try and make that jump ball. And this wasn't something that I had really thought about much before John asked it, but as you kind of go back and watch the play, I'm glad he did, because it did seem like a little bit of a strange outcome the way it played out with where the receivers ended up, in particular the guys right around Kevin White. So when you're running a Hail Mary like this, I mean, obviously it's a desperation play. Your guys are just trying to get to the goal line and, you know, get in a position to potentially make a jump ball catch. And I see initially, you know, you want to spread them out to some extent to not allow the defense to necessarily cluster in one spot. The Bears come out with one receiver to the right, three to the left in a little bit of a bunch formation. And Kevin White kind of takes the lead off the release from the line of scrimmage. And you see the Trey Burton kind of follows behind him a little bit more. And, you know, it makes me wonder, is he setting up to potentially catch a deflected pass? You know, if everyone jumps up for it and no one can quite catch it and it bounces off, Trey Burton could potentially be there short of where the ball was going to be caught to then maybe catch the rebound and have a chance to make a play. But the problem is, once the ball starts to get close to the goal line, Burton is really late to look back up for it. And like, he doesn't look back up for it until he gets to about the 2-yard line. And when he's at that point, Kevin White is already midair and catching the ball. So he is totally lost on the timing of the play and when the ball is going to come out. So he's totally out of position there. Gabriel was farther to the outside, kind of taking the attention of the outside receiver or the outside cornerback on that play. And I guess I'm not totally sure why, you know, 5'9" Taylor Gabriel is necessarily even on the field for a Hail Mary pass attempt, but I get that he's one of your top receivers on the team. And, you know, there was some attempt by Kevin White, or some thought by Kevin White supposedly, to catch the ball and try and lateral it to Gabriel after he caught it, but Gabriel really wasn't in any position to do so. So, you know, I know it's tough too, because Allen Robinson had been dealing with that groin injury and Nagy pulled him for the end of this game. And so Robinson was not on the field. So you had 5'8" Taylor Gabriel, 5'10" Anthony Miller, and then what, 6'3" Kevin White and 6'3" Trey Burton. And White and Burton, I think if you're Trubisky, those are pretty much your only two options on that play. Anthony Miller, you know, he's got some hops, but if I'm throwing a 50-50 Hail Mary ball, he's not the guy I want. And you really do want Allen Robinson to be that guy. And I think if Robinson had been on the field, you might have potentially gone to him on the outside to potentially have fewer than the 4 or 5 Patriots defenders. And really, it got to be more like 6 once White came down with the ball, all in the area there. But give Kevin White a ton of credit for going up, getting that ball, putting himself in great position before he even jumped. Like, that's, I think, the most impressive part, is that no one was able to even get their hands on or near that catch point. I mean, there was one defensive back kind of, or I guess sort of like one and a half, one right on his back and a second one that kind of was on the back of the defender behind him, and they kind of made it difficult. But Kevin White looked like a basketball player. He puts his back into the defender, jumps backwards into them to use his body to create that separation between the ball and the defender so only he can extend out and make the catch on the throw. I mean, it was a great play by one Mr. Kevin White. Not one that I'm necessarily sure should earn him better and more playing time opportunities necessarily, because I think we're still seeing Kevin White on a snap-to-snap basis generally struggle to separate. And he does a great job here of creating separation at the catch point, and that's what he can do still effectively with his body and his size. But from a route running standpoint, it's not there. From a speed standpoint, we're not quite seeing it from Kevin White. But it was still his second most snaps in any game this season. It was a great catch, a great moment for him in his young career. This only that what would it be the second catch of his season in the game. It's encouraging, and I'm not trying to take away from a great play by White there. I mean, if he's standing in the end zone, that's a touchdown. And if Trubisky's able to get that ball to the end zone, it's a touchdown. And obviously there was some pressure in his face, which is a little bit ridiculous, to be honest, considering it's basically a three-man rush, and the pressure already kind of gets there from the inside. Technically, a fourth defender was kind of in QB spy mode and then starts to rush when Trubisky scrambled, but that's beside the point. It's just a typical kind of Bears offense thing this season where the pass protection doesn't quite hold up for Trubisky. He can't throw the throw exactly where he wants it. The receiver still gets open, still makes a play, but just wasn't quite enough. Didn't have quite the personnel they wanted with Robinson's injury, and Burton really didn't know where the ball was at any point in that play. So close, but no cigar. Still a fun play and an exciting ending to an exciting Bears game. I'm sure when White caught that Hail Mary at the one-yard line, it made for a lot of nervous bettors out in Las Vegas with the Bears that close to potentially covering the spread. But if you want to add some high stakes to your Bears football Sundays, you got to check out mybookie.ag. It is one of the highest-rated online sports books with tons of rewarding player perks, including a special Locked On promo code that will earn you a free dollar-for-dollar match on your first deposit. I'm looking on MyBookie right now, and the Bears are 7-point favorites over the New York Jets, a full touchdown advantage at home on Sunday. And if you like those odds, MyBookie is the place to lay down some cash and win big. And you'll get double the cash to lay down if you use that promo code Locked On when you make your first deposit. At MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. Up next, we'll touch on a few key defensive plays and kind of look at the bigger picture of how this defense performed. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. So for today's Tape Tuesday, we're doing something a little bit different, going a little bit more in-depth on some individual plays that we're able to glean from the All-22. And as I was looking through defensively, I kind of came away feeling a little bit better about how this defense played overall. There were still a lot of different disappointing aspects, but when you really kind of take a step back at it, you know, like I'm looking through, okay, let's look at the touchdown plays that this defense allowed. And well, there were three of them to the Patriots defensively. That's not a bad day at the office when you're talking about this New England Patriots offense. And, you know, the two special teams touchdowns ultimately make this Bears defense look worse than it is. But really, you're talking about 24 points allowed to this Patriots offense, which is kind of about where this defense you can expect, you know, going against the top offenses in the NFL. And overall, that's not bad, considering how many things did seem to go wrong, which we'll get into a little bit more in the next segment. But I want to start with the first Patriots touchdown, that first opening drive of the game, where it seemed like Tom Brady and the offense could really do no wrong, and everything they did seemed to be working. And it was really a bad play by this Bears defense. It was a quick screen to the Patriots outside receiver, I believe Julian Edelman, on the play, where he motions in towards the center as the snap is coming off so he can get a little bit of a running start there. And the Patriots had three wide receivers to that side, so he had two blockers. But you look pre-snap, the Bears have three defenders there. It is not a numbers advantage. You had Amu Kamara on the outside over Edelman while he's going in motion, and then you had Eddie Jackson and Bryce Callahan over the two slot receivers. But Brady throws the ball over there, and the receivers do a good job blocking, first of all. But Edelman first tries to kind of take it upfield. Khalil Mack comes chasing over from the outside linebacker position and comes in a little bit behind him and overruns him a little bit, sweeps at the legs, misses the tackle. But you see, as he's kind of missing the tackle, Edelman seems to be lowering the shoulders a little bit to kind of go in between the two blocks of the wide receivers he's got set up, and it pretty well fools the Bears defense when he goes there. Bryce Callahan kind of disengages and then is able to get his hands on Edelman and goes low and misses the tackle there. But you see kind of Eddie Jackson sees Callahan going in. You see Adrian Amos sees Callahan going in. And Danny Trevathan sees Callahan going in. And so Jackson kind of thinks Callahan's bringing him down, so he just kind of stands there and thinks the play's over and is just kind of looking away. And Danny Trevathan comes running in and kind of dives at where Julian Edelman looked to be going down. And he, too, thinks the ball carrier is headed to the ground in this pile of defensive players and offensive players. And what happens is Edelman stays low, stays on his feet, stays balanced, and slips out to the outside, basically completely running around Trevathan, who does absolutely nothing of positive on the play, runs around Eddie Jackson, who basically just stops on the play and stands there. And the only person left was Adrian Amos as kind of the deep safety. And he comes over and starts to tackle Edelman at about the 2-yard line, but Edelman keeps his feet turning, kind of spins as he's being tackled, and ultimately goes into the end zone and brings Adrian Amos with him. And just about the only guy who you can't blame on that play is Amos, who's kind of the last line of defense and really didn't have much help. I mean, you could ask for a better tackle, but it's tough to bring down a guy who's low like that with momentum heading for you to the end zone at kind of an awkward angle for Amos. But not a good play by Khalil Mack, who misses the tackle on Edelman. Not a good play by Callahan, who misses the tackle on Edelman. And then Danny Trevathan totally overruns him and misses and just doesn't know where the ball is. And Eddie Jackson doesn't know where the ball is either. So you have four defenders really making bad plays there. And not all are even true missed tackles. It's just losing track of the ball and maybe not even quite, you know, it's not hustle in a sense, but, you know, you play to the whistle and there was never a whistle blown. So it's a little bit of an effort thing, I guess, in that sense, a little bit of a motor thing, because you want your guys to play and make sure that ball carrier is on the ground, and they don't. And Amos is the only guy who stays in the game, stays in the play, tries to make a play and is ultimately unable to. But, you know, that's not a play I'm blaming on Adrian Amos. I'm blaming on the three other guys who made contact with the ball carrier first and couldn't bring him down. Then the second Patriots touchdown was the 5-yard throw to James White. And this one, it's hard to pin on anybody besides Leonard Floyd. It's one-on-one coverage from your outside linebacker. And maybe you can pin it on Vic Fangio in that sense, that maybe you don't want Leonard Floyd one-on-one with a running back from a coverage standpoint. But they're in the red zone, and a lot of times red zone coverage responsibilities are somewhat fluid and communicated on the fly. So basically, you have single deep safety of Eddie Jackson. You've got Roquan Smith as the only linebacker on the field. Excuse me, it's Danny Trevathan as the only linebacker on the field. A 3-3-5 nickel defense with Mack and Floyd as your outside linebackers. All of your outside cornerbacks and defensive backs go man-to-man on the three wide receivers, the four wide receivers on the field. And so that kind of leaves Mack, Trevathan, Floyd, and Jackson in the middle that are basically kind of playing more like a cover one-ish zone, where if someone comes in their area, they're going to turn it into man to coverage, but otherwise they're just going to try and take away the middle of the field. And so because James White is in the backfield to Leonard Floyd's side of the field, he basically is responsible for James White. So White kind of does this, you know, sideways hop out of the backfield, then runs a vertical stem and kind of squares up Floyd, and he puts on a really nice move. Looks, I mean, it's like a wide receiver route. He does this little, like, dance step inside. Floyd bites on it, takes a big two steps to the inside. White breaks to the outside. All the receivers on that right side of the field had cut across the middle, so there's nothing but green grass over there. Tom Brady steps up and throws, and Leonard Floyd is totally behind White. And for Floyd, you know, you maybe if you want to nitpick his coverage in this play, I mean, it wasn't good coverage at all, but you know, maybe you want him to understand better that you have Trevathan and Eddie Jackson and Khalil Mack all to the inside of the field, so maybe you want to be more hesitant to go inside and be more, you know, be more cautious of a play to the outside because you know you don't have help there. And Floyd initially kind of lines up outside, but as soon as he takes that step inside, it's game over. Easy throw and catch for Tom Brady. Not a ton Floyd can do there. Not a matchup you want to put Floyd in consistently, but that's the name of the game, and it's another touchdown for the Patriots. And as we'll kind of get into more in the next segment, it wasn't a terrible job overall by this Bears defense. It wasn't pretty, but it more or less was should have been good enough to get the job done. And, you know, as a guy, I kind of feel the same way about the clothes I have in my closet. They're not necessarily pretty, but they're good enough. They fit, and, you know, they keep me warm when it's cold, and, you know, it's fine. I don't really think that much about my clothes, but I've been looking over on swap.com at some potential upgrades, and there's some really nice stuff on there at really great prices. It's actually up to 90% off retail price on a lot of the top brands like Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, Gap, and for the ladies out there, Lululemon as well, with quality hand-inspected items added to the site daily. It really is easy to tell that swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. The best part is Locked On Bears listeners like you get an extra 35% off select items when you use the promo code Locked On your first order. And if you buy something and it doesn't fit, you can return it hassle-free all within 30 days. So there's no risk to you for trying, and you'll save a lot of money with that Locked On promo code. Stop driving to the store and wasting time sifting through racks. Sort through millions of clothes in seconds from the comfort of your home with swap.com. Still to come, we will wrap up with some takeaways from the All-22 film, finding some performances to be encouraged about, and looking at the bigger picture of where this team kind of stands heading into Week 8 and their matchup with the New York Jets. That's next on Locked On Bears. So let's move into a more traditional aspect of Tape Tuesday here on Locked On Bears. Go through a few individual players that really stood out on the All-22 tape. There's not a ton of big surprises or anything like that, but some more confirming maybe what we had seen live on the broadcast and being able to add a little bit more detail to what we saw. I think the guy that continued to just jump out more and more is the rookie, Bilal Nichols. Really a strong game from him, making some big plays in the running game, one of the few guys generating that pressure from the interior. We talked about that last week, getting ready for the Patriots game. The Bears would need to get that pressure up the middle because it's the shortest distance between two points. It's the quickest way to pressure a quarterback, especially when you play a team like the Patriots that gets rid of the ball so quickly. It wasn't an ordinary large volume from Nichols. It was still just a couple of pressures, a couple of beaten blocks over the course of the game, but it was more than you were getting from other guys. And it even when he wasn't beating the blocker, he was, you know, collapsing that top of the pocket, so Brady didn't have a lot of room to step up, and really looking like a steal in that fifth round, because it's not just pass rushing, it's standing out against the run, it's separating from guys, making plays in the backfield, forcing a fumble on the running back. A lot of things to like from what we saw from Nichols, and it really does feel like he is surpassing Jonathan Bullard and Roy Robertson-Harris, and moving forward, I would expect to see Nichols get more snaps over them, and as they went to this 3-3-5, there was opportunity there for Bullard and Roy Robertson-Harris to get more opportunities, And it was Nichols time and time again. He can play the nose tackle effectively behind Eddie Goldman. He can play pretty much any of your interior defensive line spots. And it's especially impressive for a defensive lineman in his rookie year. That's one of the hardest positions. You don't really think about it, but that's one of the hardest positions for a rookie to adapt to in the NFL, because you're playing a lot stronger offensive lines, a lot smarter offensive lines, and you can't just rely on your athletic ability to be able to allow you to produce. You have to be a lot more technically sound. You have to win with your feet and your hands. And we're seeing Nichols do that consistently. We're seeing him play smart, not get out of his gap, understand his responsibility, keep an eye on the ball, and be able to make plays in the passing game and the running game. And staying in the trenches, we always use Tape Tuesday to update the Eric Kush versus James Daniels battle. And I'm still surprised they haven't necessarily handed it over to James Daniels, but I'm not convinced that's necessarily the best move. I mean, they're both playing, again, it's not headline making, it's comparable levels. And I thought, honestly, Eric Kush played a little bit better than Daniels in this game. Daniels really had a lot of trouble with Trey Flowers when he would kind of move inside a little bit more to that three technique spot. Flowers is a long defensive lineman, some versatility there too, but when he was able to get his hands on James Daniels, he did a much better job, Flowers did, of keeping that distance to create separation and not allow Daniels to swarm him up as much, rather than Eric Kush, who did a better job of not allowing Trey Flowers to get that inside hand position so easily. I mean, certainly Flowers had got the better of Kush a few times, but I saw a more consistent player in Kush a little bit in both the running and passing game, to be honest with you. There were a few times when Daniels got beat where he's a little bit off balance and maybe just not keeping his feet under him as much as you'd like. I mean, he's a rookie. He's a second-round pick, and he's still a work in progress, and that's fine. It's nothing to be concerned about. It's just sort of the development here, and I think we are going to continue to see this rotation, because the one area that they both struggled in, surprisingly, was dealing with stunts and passing them off in pass protection. They both would get too caught up in the guy who's crashing down the line of scrimmage to free up the looping defender, and they wouldn't be able to quickly enough recognize that the stunt was coming at them, that the defender was indeed crashing down the line of scrimmage. And there were a handful of plays between the two of them where the Patriots got pressure right in that A gap, right to the inside of the guard, because they allowed that stunting defender to loop in unblocked. So it's a work in progress there on the offensive line. On the whole, I wasn't thoroughly impressed with the pass protection. I think PFF had Trubisky under pressure on 20 of his 58 dropbacks. Some of that was a result of the blitz, but we still saw too many pressures from Bobby Massey, too many pressures from Kyle Long, even a few more from Cody Whitehair than we've typically seen throughout the season. But it is still a work in progress. It's still an offense that's a work in progress. And I guess the big encouraging note that you can take away from this game offensively was just how many open receivers there were downfield. You know, as much as it can be criticism for Mitchell Trubisky for missing open receivers downfield, and I think it is fully deserved criticism for Mitchell Trubisky, there is two sides to that coin. It's yes, your quarterback needs to be more accurate, but at least it's telling you that Matt Nagy's system is working, at least from a passing standpoint. When you have guys open downfield for big plays that are there to be made, you are putting your quarterback in a position to potentially be successful. And it's going to take time for him to potentially grow into that if he is fully going to grow into the quarterback that Matt Nagy thinks he can be. It is going to take time, and he is an inexperienced quarterback. He has shown you the flashes, but the important thing is that the system is there for him to be successful. It's not like Trubisky is struggling and it's the John Fox, Dowell Loggins offense and there's no receivers to throw to, and it's not allowing him to have the success that they want him to have. The system is there, and the next step is for the quarterback to get there with it. But you can count on us at Locked On Bears to keep you up to date with every step of Mitchell Trubisky's development, the good and the bad. We're going to tell you like it is with this quarterback. We're not going to sugarcoat it and always tell you everything's going to be okay. We're not going to be big fanboys for Mitchell Trubisky. Criticism is allowed here. We're just going to keep it real. We're going to talk about the tape. We're going to talk about what we see from this quarterback. Like I said, good and bad. When there's good, we will praise him. When there's bad, we will criticize him. That's how you get better at football. That's how you learn more about this Bears team. And that's how you become a more knowledgeable and informed Bears fan. There will be better days coming soon with the Jets and the Bills in the next 2 weeks, if we're totally being honest here. So I hope you'll keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Subscribe to the podcast to keep up with all of our daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Join the conversation with the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line, 312-620-8590. Another thanks to John from Pensacola, Florida, for asking about that Hail Mary play back in the first segment. If you want your questions answered on the air, leave us a voicemail, shoot us in a text. Either way, we can break it down right here for you. You can also join in the conversation with the Locked On Bears Facebook group. Just search Locked On Bears group, or go to the Locked On Bears Facebook page, and there's a button right on there that will take you into the group. There's a couple hundred of us in there now, talking Bears every single day. Gets really going, especially on game days. People reacting instantly to what they see. Some emotions getting high and low through the roller coasters of that Bears game, but it's all good fun. We keep it friendly. We keep it all Bears talking. It's a great way to keep up with your fellow Bears fan, connect as you go through the ups and downs of this season. Because really, that's what this is all about. It's connecting with your fellow Bears fans so you can come together and bear down.